We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Thaddeus Stevens was one of the most consequential members of Congress in the nation's history. Stevens represented Lancaster County in Washington during and after the Civil War. He was instrumental in the passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution that abolished slavery and led the fight for the 14th Amendment that requires equal protection under the law. But before moving to Lancaster, Stevens was a trial lawyer, iron maker, and champion of the Underground Railroad and freedom for enslaved people in Adams County. The first standalone museum dedicated to Stevens opened last week in downtown Gettysburg. Ross Hetrick is the founder and president of the Thaddeus Stevens Society. He's with us on The Spark today. Mr. Hetrick, welcome to the program.
Thank you very, very much for having me.
So there was an article in Smithsonian Magazine last December entitled "Why America is Just Now Learning to Love Thaddeus Stevens, the Best Hated Man in U.S. History." The subtitle was "The Pennsylvanian Was One of America's Greatest Heroes. Why Hasn't He Gotten His Due?" So I'll ask that question. Why hasn't Stevens been mentioned as one of the greats in American history?
Well, for a couple of different reasons. One is the way that history is taught in our schools is primarily about the presidents. And even though Thaddeus Stevens exercised power equivalent to that of presidents, he was a member of the House of Representatives. So for that reason, they kind of gloss over those people in the House of Representatives and even in the Senate. Another big reason is that he was a target of what's known as the lost cause mythology, where Southerners, after the Civil War, basically rewrote the history of the Civil War, saying that it wasn't about slavery, it was about states' rights, and that those people who led the Confederacy were heroes. And one of the things they also did was attack people like Thaddeus Stevens. Thaddeus Stevens has been in three movies. Two of them, he was the villain. And just recently, the Lincoln movie, he was a hero. So it really is a change in the way that the nation has viewed the Civil War. And as people become more aware of the truth about the Civil War, Thaddeus Stevens gains notoriety.
You mentioned the three movies, and I wanted to bring up the 2012 Steven Spielberg movie, Lincoln, where Stevens' legacy got a boost from that movie. And it seems even 12 years later that that seemed to inspire some people to look more favorably and even look more, give more attention to Stevens.
Yeah. And as I say, it's the best thing that happened to Thaddeus Stevens in 100 years. Even though there were some factual mistakes, it portrayed him as the hero that he was. Interesting, I just want to mention that the last time I talked to you, Scott, was after that movie came out and you interviewed me. And that movie was really a turning point for us. Our membership doubled and then tripled. And now we're over 300 members, with members in foreign countries. So that movie has really been a godsend for us.
And that was a fun interview. I remember that. Abraham Lincoln is most often named as our greatest president. But some have said that Stevens pushed Lincoln toward what were considered some of his greatest accomplishments. Did he?
Oh, absolutely. In my presentations about Stevens, I say that the Union was blessed with two political geniuses. One was Abraham Lincoln and the other one was Thaddeus Stevens. And much of Abraham Lincoln's genius was that he listened to Thaddeus Stevens. At the beginning of the war, Lincoln was against ending slavery in the South. He was against the expansion of slavery. But he told anybody that would listen that he did not intend to end slavery in the Southern states. And he also let it be known that he was not going to use black soldiers. Those are two positions that Thaddeus Stevens held from the beginning, and he basically kept pestering Lincoln until he adopted those positions also. So you could actually say, in fact, contemporaries likened it to Thaddeus Stevens going through the fields, removing the trees and the boulders, with Lincoln following behind him, sowing the seeds of freedom.
So tell us about Stevens' life.
Well, Stevens was born to a poor family up in Vermont. His father abandoned the family when he was 12, but his mother was completely dedicated to education. And so Thaddeus Stevens got a good education at the local academy, then went on to Dartmouth. He also was born with a club foot, which some historians say that that made him more sympathetic to people with disabilities and who were worse off than other people. After graduating from Dartmouth, he came down to York and was a teacher for a couple years and got his law degree, came over to Gettysburg in 1816 and started practicing law. He became a very influential lawyer. In fact, he was elected to the state legislature. Thaddeus Stevens had two legislative careers, one a state career and then another one, the federal career, once he moved to Lancaster. He was involved in all sorts of other projects, like he helped found Gettysburg College. He was trying to have railroads built for Gettysburg. He was a big real estate holder, and he also was involved in the iron production business, which actually was one of the worst mistakes in his life. Continuously lost money there. In fact, that's the reason he left Gettysburg and moved over to Lancaster, so he could make more money to pay down his debt for the iron works. And he kept losing money there. And then Jubal Early, Confederate General Jubal Early, on his way to the Battle of Gettysburg, made a special stop there and burnt the place to the ground. So that was a business that he probably should never have been involved in. But the Caledonia iron furnace was considered a stop on the Underground Railroad. So it did, you know, benefit the people escaping slavery.
Stevens was elected to the state legislature, as you mentioned. You know, he's most often remembered in the history books for his time in Congress in Washington and the 13th and 14th Amendment. But one of his lasting legacies here in Pennsylvania was public education. Talk about, first of all, why he was such a big supporter of public education. And I mean, he actually kind of saved it here in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. In fact, today is the day that he made his famous speech, April 11th, 1835. So, you know, maybe we should be celebrating that. But in any case, what happened, Pennsylvania was a pioneer in public education. And they actually passed the Public Education Act in 1834. But with public education comes higher taxes, which caused a taxpayer revolt in Pennsylvania. And most of the legislators who returned in 1835 were pledged to repeal public education. And in fact, the state Senate met first and voted to repeal public education. Then it all came over to the House, where Thaddeus Stevens was a power in the House. And he made a stirring speech where he urged his fellow legislators to build not your monuments of brass or marble, but of ever-living mind, that they passed a stronger public education bill, which then approved by the Senate, which had just previously repealed it. So, yeah, he is known as the savior of public education. And late in his life, he considered that to be perhaps the best thing he ever accomplished. And he said he would be amply rewarded if a student of the public education system shed a tear on his grave.
So before Stevens was elected to Congress, a couple other noteworthy things in his life. He tried to steal an election in 1838. What happened there?
I don't know if he stole it so much as it was uncertain as to who won, and he was taking advantage of that situation. Actually, what happened there was it blew up into what's known as the Buckshot War. I find a lot of Pennsylvania residents are not aware of, but it's really kind of a fascinating story because there was a question as to who won the election. And both sides set up competing houses in Harrisburg. And the Democrats solved the problem by importing a mob by train to Harrisburg and taking over the legislature by force. In fact, Thaddeus Stevens had to jump out a window at one point to get away from a rampaging mob. By losing political power, that kind of spoiled Thaddeus Stevens' efforts to become the senator from Pennsylvania, and also work on his so-called tapeworm railroad was halted for more than 50 years, though eventually it was started up again in the 1890s, long after Thaddeus Stevens had died.
So you mentioned that Stevens moved to Lancaster in 1842. But again, before we get there, he was a fierce opponent of slavery while in Gettysburg, right?
That's correct. Starting in the 1820s, he devoted himself to defending fugitive slaves and also working in the legislature to work against slavery. In fact, he was on the committee to overhaul the Constitution in 1837. And one of the things that the convention did was to eliminate voting for black men. And Thaddeus Stevens was so outraged by that that he wouldn't sign the product. So, yeah, and then also he, like I said, the Caledonia Iron Mill was also a haven for the Underground Railroad.
So he moved to Lancaster in 1842, as you said, to make more money. Eventually was elected to Congress, became chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He was one of the most powerful congressmen in Washington. In what ways?
Well, this is an interesting point that, he was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, which is a very important committee. But he held more power as a result of leading what's known as the Radical Republicans, a very distant group of anti-slavery people in the House and the Senate. And he was able to exercise authority just by the sheer force of his character. And he was also the greatest parliamentarian in U.S. history. But for all those different reasons, he exercised a power which was really sort of more than anybody in his particular position.
What was 40 acres and a mule?
Yes. Well, 40 acres and a mule was the first effort at reparations, and actually the first attempt to achieve that was actually done by Sherman. Sherman had a lot of freed slaves following his troops, and he had a lot of abandoned land abandoned by Southern planters down in Georgia. So he thought, well, we'll just parcel out this abandoned land, giving each head of household 40 acres plus a mule. Well, Thaddeus Stevens latched onto that in Congress. And he wanted to confiscate the property from the richest rebels, okay, which was like 1.4% of the population down there, which owned over 80% of the land in the South. And he wanted to confiscate that and divide that up among the freed black men. You know, this was, you know, back before women were considered in these situations. And that he would actually be able to distribute that, plus have land left over to sell, which would go towards paying down the national debt. Unfortunately, his idea, his bill, didn't get any traction. In fact, it didn't even get out of committee. And historians figure that being a capitalist country, the premier capitalist country, that the Congress just didn't have the appetite to further confiscate the property of Southern planters. One of the things that they point out is that by freeing the slaves, it amounted to the confiscation of more property than all of the industrial equipment in the North before the Civil War. So you can sort of understand that the people, or at least the capitalists in the North, didn't want to have a double whammy on the capitalists of the South.
After President Lincoln was assassinated, Andrew Johnson became president. He turned back some of Lincoln's policies. One in particular was pardoning former Confederates. Stevens revolted.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, that is, Johnson, which is kind of amazing that he was a Southern Democrat as the vice president. So Southern Democrat, the people we were fighting, became the president. Now, Johnson had become a kind of a national hero because he was the only Southern senator not to leave the Senate, and he was against secession. But he wasn't that much against the way other things operated in the South. So he started issuing pardons wholesale to Confederate officials. And then he let them hold elections, and they elected Confederate officials to the House and the Senate. And they meant to take over the government and basically reinstate slavery through the use of the Black Codes, which made which employed a loophole in the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment allowed for involuntary servitude if you're a convict. So they basically made all Blacks convicts by saying, if you're a Black without a job, then you're, and these only applied to Black people. And they said, if you're Black without a job, you're a vagrant, and you can be put back on plantation as convict labor. But Thaddeus Stevens was not going to allow this to happen. And he came up with a plan that involved Edward McPherson, the clerk of the House and a protege of Thaddeus Stevens. And when Congress convened on December 4th, 1865, Edward McPherson called the roll and excluded the Southern names. When it was that challenge, Thaddeus Stevens said, point of order, we can conduct no business until the roll is called. That the roll was called, the Southerners were out, which gave the Republicans a supermajority, which was used to prevent that, Andrew Johnson from losing the Civil War after the Civil War.
Now, even today, we feel the impact of some of Andrew Johnson's poor decisions. We only have about 2 minutes left. The Thaddeus Stevens Museum in Gettysburg that opened last week, tell us about it.
Oh, it's a free museum. It's right across the street from where his house was. They tore that down in 1923. And it's open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we have free coffee if you want to come in there. And I would really appreciate people coming in. And that's why we're there, is to spread the gospel about Thaddeus Stevens.
What would they see?
They will see letters from Thaddeus Stevens. They will see cast iron stoves made at his iron mills. They will see newspapers, including a French newspaper about Thaddeus Stevens. We have a large collection of biographies about Thaddeus Stevens, and they can even watch videos about Thaddeus Stevens. Mm.
In 2025, the Thaddeus Stevens and Lydia Hamilton Smith Center for History and Democracy will be opening in Lancaster. So, you know, between the museum in Gettysburg and what's opening in next year in Lancaster, there will be a lot more attention and people can learn a lot more about Thaddeus Stevens.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to the Lancaster opening. That's been delayed for decades. We were hoping that something like that was going to be opening in 2022, but now they've actually started construction and it should be completed by 2025. And that's going to be a really grand museum. They're talking about spending $25 million on their museum. Ours is more like a $2,500 museum.
I think you're exaggerating a little bit, but...
Well, the $25 million is not an exaggeration.
No, I know.
Maybe we spent more money than $25 million. Maybe like $3,000.
Ross Hetrick is the founder and president of the Thaddeus Stevens Society. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. It's a lot of fun. Thank you very much.